Only you are wonderful. For there's no one else like you, who is faithful ever true. All my love, my heart, my life is a testimony. Only you are holy. Only you are holy. Only you are worthy. Only you are worthy. Only you, Jesus. Only you are wonderful. For there's no one else like you, who is faithful ever true. All my love, my heart, is a testimony, is a testimony, is a testimony. Just in the same environment, get your tithe, get your offering. Let's worship the Lord without giving. And if you're going to give through mobile money, the details are on the screen.
And
yes, I'm also giving on mobile money. So let's, and when you're ready, just stand up. Father Almighty, we honor you, we bless you. We thank you. Thank you that this week their lives will not be the same. We see your goodness in the land of the living. We taste and we see it. We partake of it while we are still young. Cause them to see your increase, your multiplication, your grace and your mercy. Cause doors to open that they never could have opened. And above all, may your kingdom and your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Okay, let us give. And I'm going to ask Alma to bring your parents. Alma, Barbara, and Dile. Bring your parents and your generation lead. You may take your seats. Amen. So today we dedicate babies. Amen. The third Sunday. And today we're dedicating Alma,
Barbara and Dile.
So let's stretch our hands. And just begin to pray in tongues. Pray like the baby is yours. Rendela rabashikosa tata kasata. Ilanda rarabasha tata. Roselanda rakosha tata. Rela rarabosha tekezele teke. Randa kasha tata. Father Almighty, we thank you for Alma. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. And right now we give her back to you. Your word says that bring up a child in the way that she would go and she would not depart from it. We lay her at your altar. She is yours. Seal her with your blood. Seal her with your word. Nothing, no disease, no sickness, no corruption will come nigh her. Her seed is sealed by the Holy Spirit. Ilande reko satata la rabashata. Zikete teke la rabashata. We thank you for long life. She grows up to be a woman of great valor, a woman of substance, a woman for the nations. For this time, she will have an answer for her generation. We thank you, King of Glory, that she is set apart. She is set apart to bring change to her generation. Hike landa rako satata. Likete ke la raba shanda rako satata. Ilanda rako satata laba shikita. Rendele rerebo shatata. Reze kete ke landaka. Zate ke ke la raba shata. Ilanda razola kande kete te ke la raha. Shatete ke soto. Father, we also pray for her parents, that you give them the wisdom, the strength to raise her up in the way that only you know, that they will not rely on their own strength and power, but they will rely on your grace and your mercy, that they will lean on you. I thank you for providence. They will lack nothing for Alma and all her siblings. They will lack nothing to position her and place her in the way that you have purposed and planned. I thank you, King of Glory. Your name be lifted and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you blessed to be here? When you walked in, were you happy with what you saw? When you walked through the gates and drove through the magnificent, someone called them the gates of heaven. When you were walking through the gates, did you see the glory?
Yeah.
Okay, I decided to preach from up here because after all the work they put in to make sure this stage was done by today, I said, I shall not stand there. I will stand here just to honor the stage in all its glory. After they've done the stage, this one I'm talking only to the bachala. There's someone who donated verses, but we've not yet been able to put them because they don't have things inside. But Katolaba stage to banja, all the interior decorators, the black is too much. We need to, as if. Munte gede, tuchikole koe. Amina. But let's thank the team that has worked tirelessly this whole week. Painting the gate, the office, building this stage. The whole week they were here yesterday, Friday. Everyone was on a public holiday. They were working, making sure that this thing is done by Sunday. Amen. Hallelujah. And they are still painting. They haven't finished painting. I think they'll finish next week. And there are so many things that we want to do to make this place look good. I think we want to also do this wall. But the plan is to do this wall and the floor and what else?
To see parking.
We want to paint those tiles black. We went somewhere and it looked nice, so we are like, all the nice things that we see, we bring them here.
Eh.
When we go and we see a nice thing, we say, nice things belong.
Eh.
So we come back and we want to paint that those pavers. They are called pavers. I don't want to say tiles. We want to paint those pavers black. Amen. So that when you walk into this place, it's like you entered another city. City Church Kampala.
Yes, City Church Kampala.
And then also to this is board, so you're able to put whatever you want. Are you seeing the vision with me? Plus the flowers, plus the movie daba. Let us dream together. You're all welcome to today's service. Pastor has been talking about, he talked about meditation last week. And I wanted to go into it again this week. Meditation is not just something we do when we need something or when we are praying. It is a lifestyle. It is something we need to incorporate into our everyday life. Every single day. Every moment that we are meditating. God told
Joshua
that meditate in the word. When? Day and night. He didn't say only when you have problems. He didn't say when you need an answer. He said day and night. Meditate on this word. It's Joshua chapter 1.
Yes.
This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it. Day and night. I want to say more about this. But I'll say more at the end, towards the end. I believe strongly, based on what I've read in the Bible, that David was a man of great meditation. That's why we have the book of Psalms. Everything that he has written were things he meditated on. When he writes things like your faithfulness, the same way that the sun rises and sets, that's how faithful you are. Great is thy faithfulness. That means every time he looked at something, at nature, he began to think and meditate. Do you understand? When he was out with the sheep, because it was just the sheep and him, he had time to meditate on what God did. That's why when he comes before Goliath, he says, who is this Philistine? Uncircumcised Philistine. Because he understood. He told King Saul that the God who caused me to kill lions is the same God who can cause me to kill Goliath. That was his meditation. So he is a man that lived a life of meditation. When we read Isaiah 26:3, it says, you will keep him in perfect peace,
mirembe,
whose mind
oyendowozaye
is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That's powerful.
Jamani.
You will keep him
onamukuma
in perfect peace,
mirembe,
whose mind
oyesigamia
is stayed on you.
Endowozaye kugu.
The message version, if you can find the message version. Nzivunule
ene ya message egamba bweti.
It says, people with their minds set on you.
abantu bonna balina endowooza zaabwe nga ziri ku ggwe.
You will keep completely whole.
Abo nabakuumanga mu bujjuvu.
Steady.
Nga banywevu.
On their feet.
Ku bigere byabwe.
Because they keep at it and don't quit.
Kubanga basigala ku ekyo era tebakivaako.
So another version where they stayed, it says fixed. So, why did he use the word stayed
or fixed?
Because he knows there are so many things that pull us and distract us. But we have to discipline our minds. And that is meditation. We pull our thoughts back. And meditation comes from trust. The scripture says he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Because what? Because he trusts in you. Do you know why you worry? Worry, by the way, worry is a form of meditation. It's just the other way. It's the negative one. Because you're meditating on the problem. That is worry. You sit and you think about everything that could go wrong. And can go wrong. And has already gone wrong. That is meditation. And you worry. I lost my trail of thought because of that boy. Meditation comes from trust. Who do you trust? Because what you trust is going to inform your meditation. Are you with me? If you trust your bank account, it is going to inform whether how you worry. And why you worry. If your trust is in your boyfriend, when he's not talking to you, you will worry. If your trust is in your bank account, when it is at zero, your meditation will reflect your trust. Do you understand? Have you seen those people who are only happy when their bank account is happy? And the day the bank account is not smiling, you can tell. You can just tell. And some of you, your trust is in your relationships, your friends. If you're okay with your friends, you're okay. You're happy. Your meditation is good. Life is good. We'll meet you and you'll greet us properly. But the day you have a fight or your relationships are not okay, we will avoid you. Where is your trust? Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Our trust is in our God. Therefore, our meditation shall be different. Circumstances and situations will try to affect our meditation. But because our trust is in God, we change that meditation. Say, I change. You change your situations through your meditation. You keep your mind stayed on God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The account comes to tell you that it's at zero and you tell it no.
Account ayi kugamba nti sente ziweddeko noga nedda.
I have another account that you don't know. In the heavenly places, all I need to do is go and download. Do you understand? Speak life. Amen. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. I'm reminded of a time. David, I think it's 1 Chronicles chapter 21. David carried out a census. And God had told him not to. And when we read verse 12, I think it's, yes, 21, yes. So David said to Joab and to the leaders of the people, go number Israel from Bathsheba to Dan and bring the number of them to me. The next verse, it says, and Joab answered, may the Lord make his people 100 times more than they are. But my Lord the king, are they not all my Lord's servants? Why then does your Lord require this thing? So you see, they were even trying to convince David not to count the people. And when you read in other verses, a prophet came and told him, don't do this. You don't need to count because it is God that gives increase. And we go to verse 12. After he still went ahead and counted the people. And God told him, let's actually read from 11. Just start 11. So God came to David and said, this is the prophet. Prophet God came to David and said to him, thus says the Lord, choose for yourself. Either 3 years of famine or 3 months to be defeated by your foes with the sword of your enemies overtaking you, or else 3 days of the sword of the Lord, the plague in the land, with the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Now consider what answer I should take back to him who sent me. So what happens here? David defies God. God sends his prophet and says, I've given you 3 options. You either, there's famine in your land for 3 years, or your enemies defeat you for only 3 months. They come and overtake you for 3 months. Or 3 days, the Lord will send a plague in the land and his angel will destroy everything. So if you're David, which one do you choose? Which one?
Which one?
Which one? You don't choose. This. God gave him 3 options. I wouldn't know which one. You know, 3 years of famine. 3 months. Most of us might choose 3 days. Only because it is the shortest time, right? You'll be like, 3 days? It is okay. 3 days, 3 months, 3 years. Mm-mm. 3 days. I can kuguma for 3 days, right? Let's see what David chose. And the reason why he chose it, okay? And David said to God, I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. But do not let me fall in the hand of man. He didn't choose the third one because it is the shortest period.
No.
He said, let me be in the hand of God because that God is merciful. His mercies are great. Like, you know, you might put me in the hand of man, but my enemies can come and overtake. I don't know what they shall do. They will not be merciful. Famine, it will not be merciful to me. But put me in the hand of my God, because it is God going to send his angel to destroy the land. Put me in the hand of God. He knew his God. David knew the character of God. That he is gracious. That he is merciful. But you know, some of us, we encounter problems and then we say, God is punishing me. And you find a solution outside of God. Now I understand why when God told David that your son would die, he said, but this God, he's loving. I'm going to pray. But adventure, he changes his mind. So, 13, God said, David says that. He says, "For I cannot put my life in the hands of man." Do we remember Job when God allowed the devil to torment Job and how the devil took every opportunity he could? So David is like, for me, leave me, let me fall in the hands of God. Let him do with me whatever he wants. Because at the end of the day, I know he loves me. He is merciful. I trust only him. Now, verse 15. Skip to verse 15. And God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. As he was destroying, the Lord looked. So this was day one. I know it could have even been the first hour. Because it was like, as he was destroying, he sent him. And as he was destroying, the Lord looked and relented of the disaster and said to the angel who was, it is enough, it is enough. Stop, stop. That was day one. Maybe the first hour had just passed. I don't know. Or the first second. And God said, "Gwe, angel, sokokomeho. Stop. It is enough. Restrain your hand." And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Onan the Jebusite. And I think they say he stood there and he could be seen. And David saw that the angel had stopped. And I think he began to worship. You guys. And David lifted his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between the earth and heaven, having his hand a drawn sword stretched over Jerusalem. So David and the elders clothed in fell to their faces. Gwe. And so David decided to plead. He said, it is me. It is me who told them to be counted. God, whatever it is, put it on me. And my house, not against your people. That's the man God says. That is a man after my own heart. He knew his God. You know, he meditated so much that he said, one thing I am sure of, that this God I serve, he's merciful. He's loving. And he loves me. So that even in the punishment, he's still merciful. You know, when I was reading this, I just said, oh God, you are so great. That someone can understand you enough to say, don't put me in the hands of man. Don't put me in the hands of this earth. Because the earth will shut things up from you. But put me in the hands of God. But many of us say, no. God's hands, let me fix this. Let me sort this out. The only reason we do that is we have not meditated enough. We have not been in his word enough. Our hearts are not overflowing. So when David begins to write, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He is slow to anger and quick to mercy. It is because he has experienced, he has meditated. So I'm giving you another view. Meditation. There are so many levels of meditation. But all of us in that first level of meditation, we are there. The one of just what we think about is meditation. We are there. And we are thinking about the wrong things. And they are leading us to make the wrong decision. Remember how we decided 3 days? Because we said 3 years is too long, 3 months. Let me take 3 days. Because I can be strong for 3 days. But David said, it's not about, if God was saying, let me torture you for 3 years, I would choose to be in God's hand. Than 3 hours in man's hand. But for us, we might say, but I'm strong. I go to the gym. Give me 3 hours with man. I will fight. You understand? But he's coming from a place of deep meditation. Where, that's where he can say, if you do not go with me, I'm not going anywhere. That's where he can say, you who was with me when I fought the lions, you will kill this giant. That place of meditation will cause you to come before mountains and conquer them. There's no situation you can face that you cannot overcome when you have understood who your God is. My people perish because they lack knowledge. But you know, some of us have the knowledge, but we don't understand it. We've not made it ours. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. We need to get that knowledge, make it ours. You understand? Let's go back to Joshua chapter 1. Yes. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. So it says meditate what? In it. Not on it. Don't meditate on the word. Meditate in. So that what? So that you may observe to do. The strength and the grace for you to do what God is calling you to do comes from you meditating in the word. David could not have done everything he did if he had not been meditating in the word. Do you understand? Your strength, your boldness, your power comes from eating the word. The same way when you eat food, you can get up and walk and run and exercise and face that day. If you do not chew on the word of God, you cannot do great exploits for God. You can't enter your workplace and meet your boss who does not understand, and you command the atmosphere to obey you, and they give you a promotion in a time when no one else was allowed. You can't unless there is something you have meditated upon that is greater than this. Yesterday evening we went to a supermarket. And we had a long day, so we were just buying dinner. And there was a gentleman talking to my husband. And he started telling him, why are you ordering for that food? And he's like, do you know where these chickens come from? He said, I bet they are not local chickens. He said, yeah, these Westerners have a plan. They want to kill us all. So these chickens, they grow in 3 weeks and they put poison and they put medicine and they put, and you are going to die if you eat them. My husband said, okay. So they talk, and then he asked him, so what are you going to eat? Because he was also there to buy food. So he said, so what should we eat? He said, you can't eat oil, you can't eat what? So he said, I want that goat meat. Is it deep fried? And they said, yes. He said, ah, no, I don't want. Then he said, give me that pilau. Is there beef in the pilau fried? They said, yes. He said, ah, you leave it. Thankfully, he didn't ask if it was fried, because I think he would have left it, because it was definitely fried. So, if you live in a world where they determine what you eat because it is poisoned and that is your level of revelation, feel free. But if you are in my kingdom and you understand and you have been meditating on the word that tells you that it is not what you eat. In fact, nothing you eat, they will poison you and it will have no effect on you. It is not what you eat physically, but it is what comes out of you that determines. If you are from my kingdom and you fast, do you know what you're doing to your body? You're resetting your body. You guys, fasting. Now let me teach you something, because we teach the spiritual angle of fasting. But physically, when you fast and you spend all those hours without eating, your body is resetting. It is getting out all the toxins. It is fixing all its organs. It is something your body requires. So every time you fast, you're resetting. And you're not just resetting physically. You're positioning yourself for the Holy Spirit to come and begin to speak and dwell with you. And His words are life. And you are in meditation and you are in prayer. How? How? Tell me, how does the chicken and the oil or the pork, whatever it is? Because scripture says, they've given Matthew 15, it is not what goes into the mouth of man that makes it unclean. It is what comes out. But there's a scripture that says we are born of the incorruptible seed. Incorruptible. There is nothing that can corrupt you from without. Everything that is going to corrupt you is going to come from within. Now, that man we talked to last night, if he eats that chicken, it will kill him. Because from within, he has accepted that this thing has to kill me. It is the within that is killing him, not what he's putting in. So when he eats it and he dies, he will be a statistic to prove that this thing is true. And it is true. But me, when I eat it and I don't die, like I did last night, it is also a statistic to prove that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And this is why He came, that we may show the world who God is. You understand? I am born not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible by the word. Again, meditation by the word which liveth and abideth forever. You understand? That's how we have to think. We have to change what we meditate on, what we think on, how we view things. Where is your trust? Because it will determine your meditation. We meditate so that we can do. If I'm not meditating, I will meet this man and he will tell me all these things and that I should only eat the local chicken. And I will also say, from today, I'm only eating the local chicken. Where will I end? One day there's this company that sells really nice saucepans. They are so nice. But they are so expensive. They are like the whole set. The whole set is like $10,000. So they come to your home and they cook for you and they show you how the saucepans that you are using are very toxic. They put soda bicarbonate and they show you all the things that go into the food. And then their saucepans, these ones they cook for you, it is boil, it is what. And the food tastes nice. Then they tell you the price of the saucepan. So they came to my house, they cooked for us a three-course meal, we ate. Meanwhile, they are telling us the salt they put in the saucepans we have. They say, first bring the saucepans you have, let us show you how you're eating all the toxins. You know those non-stick saucepans? You're eating everything, it is going into your stomach and soon you will die. So they show you. Then they say, now we have a discount. So this saucepan, you can buy one at like $1,000. And so the first day they came, I said, man, sweetheart, we need to buy these saucepans. Because I am so healthy, Now all these things. Then, wait, I sat down and I began to think about it. So I said, so after I buy the saucepans for $10,000 and put it in my house, when I go to Cafe Java's, do I carry the saucepan and say, cook for me in this saucepan? When I go to visit my friend, do I say, wait, I'm coming with my saucepan, don't cook until I come? Well, I said, this is very impractical. After spending $5,000 on three saucepans, what do I do? How will I? When they say, let's go out, we're having a lunch meeting, I first go and inspect the saucepan. I said, this is a lie from the pit of hell. I sat down and I began to think clearly, who am I? Because I shall not be in prison of a saucepan. So I meditated and I began to remember who I am and how I'm incorruptible and how I have gone through. The God who created me could not have, He has created this body to figure out the toxins and get them out when I fast. That's how good He is. He knew. So I settled. When they contacted me again, I said, no, I don't need your saucepans. Because if I buy your saucepans, then I have to carry them to Cafe Java's. I have to carry them to Pastor Wilbur's place. When he says, come and eat, I say, I've come with my saucepan. My food, cook it here. When I travel abroad, saucepan in the suitcase. I said, no. I shall not be bound by a saucepan. And I was free. And I eat my food with no fear. And I cook it in the non-stick that they tested and there was, I don't know what residue under. Once I eat, my body knows what to do. That's why there's digestion. And it knows, get this one out, get this one out. This is waste. This one is what we need. Everything else, out. And then when I fast, it says, thank you very much. Let us do an overhaul of the system. And I might be healthier than the saucepan. Because 10 years from now, they will find out that even this saucepan that was $10,000 has something that it emits that is bad for my body. And the cycle will continue. So you need to live above the cycles of this world. You need to live above the poverty. You need to live above what the systems, the enemy is setting systems to trap you and bind you. Live above them. It doesn't mean we want to use them. We might even use them, but they are not what keep us healthy. We understand the source of life. We know who we trust. And that is the one That's how we live above. Amina. So it's one thing just to think about something. It's another to think in something. So when you're thinking in something, Pastor likes to say that when you read the word, put yourself in it. If you're reading about David, imagine you are David and begin to say it like it is you. You can't forget it. You can't forget it. Write. Make a habit of writing. Just two lines. Write. Meditate. Sit down in the evening. Think. What has God done today? Write it down. Become people that meditate. When you're worried, or you wake up and you're sad, don't say, this is how I am. Because you know, this is what, again, the system of the world. They've made it okay. You, your flag, your choleric, your melancholic, your what? What's the last one? Sanguine. So you're naturally happy, it is okay. You're naturally moody, it is okay. You're all... Since when? Who made you?
Ani yakola.
And he told you that he's moody. Because he made you in his image. So he's... Every day he's moody.
Bagambi aine ntondo
ngaku. No, no. Find out. Why am I sad? Get to the root of it and deal with it. If you find out that you're sad because you don't have money, begin to say, no, I am blessed with every blessing in the heavenly places. My account may be at zero right now, but that is, does not define who I am. I am not broke. I have money in places that this world does not know. Begin to speak life. And you say, I refuse. I refuse. To be sad because of money. You have no job. Have no food. Begin to speak. Don't allow these things to tell you who you are and what you can do. Don't. You will be happier. You're sad because you're single. I am lonely. I am not married. Start rejoicing with the married. Start rejoicing with the married. Because as you find the joy. Someone was asking us the other day, but you guys were too happy at Amos's wedding. Why? Guys, when you learn to celebrate the good things God is doing, whether they are in your life or not, in someone else's life, you are calling them. And some of you may say, but for you, you're already married. Yes, I'm already married. But my children have to get married. My friends have to get married. So every marriage, I will rejoice like it is my daughter, like it is my friend, like it is me. In the middle of it, because I understand the principle. And here's the funny thing. When you meditate in the word and in God's goodness, this rejoicing,
sichikake.
You're not forcing it. You're not saying, encourage yourself in the Lord, Bambi, be happy there. Pastor Karo, yagambie, be happy. When you be happy, the things that you are happy about, they shall come to you. You be in the word. Just like you've read about God's goodness and how he is great in mercy and how he loves you and how do you come here and see someone getting a good thing? The other day I had a testimony and I literally spent the whole night. I was awake the whole night. Happy. For the person in the testimony. Let me tell you, I woke up in the morning and said, because the whole night I would turn and I'd be like, but God, you're so good. How could you bless her like that? Like, my God, everybody who saw her is going to look and say, but there is a God. Then I would sleep. Then, you know, when you're turning, you wake up, I would start from where I stopped. I'd be like, but you really caused that person to come all the way from where they are to come and bless her just because you are God. You just wanted to show off. The whole night I was like that. I woke up in the morning, I sent her a message, I said, but you, it is not okay that it is as if I'm the one they have given the testimony. But I saw where it came from. That when I am in the Word and I get God's heart for me, I can't be angry with your blessing. I can't. When you tell me your blessing, it is like God has blessed me. I begin to cry and laugh and spend nights thanking God for what He has done in your life. And that I cannot take credit for. That is the Spirit working in me. Because I remember a time when if I said, but God, cut now. When is mine coming? Surely, a change. But now, I see a blessing and it's like it's me. And I dance like it is me. And I rejoice. And I'm not doing it so that God would bless me. I am doing it because God has already blessed me. My meditation is not that God would. It is that He has already. I see it. So when I see Him working in everybody else around me, how can I not rejoice? Meditate on God's word. Meditate on what He has done. Sit down, think through the year. Remember a victory here and thank God. That is meditation. You meditate on the word. You meditate on what He has done. You meditate on everything He has taken you through. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate on these things. Let's stand up. I know a God who's merciful and kind, faithful and gracious. I'm the apple of His eye, the joy that fills His light every morning, noon, and night. He loved me when I didn't care, was patient till I came, running back into His arms. See how He turned my life around, made me a shining star, His glory to reveal. Worship Him forever, love Him forever, because this God is true. too good, oh, I will worship him forever, love him forever, because this God is too good, oh, I will worship him forever, love him forever, because this God is too good, oh. Don't look too far to see how good he is. Just look at me. He took me from the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock. I'm standing in his righteousness. Oh, he took away my sin and shame, gave me a brand new name, his beloved and his redeemed. Oh, look how he turned my life around, made me a shining light, his glory to reveal. I will worship him forever, love him forever, because this God is too good. Oh, I will worship, I will worship him forever, love him forever, because this God is too good. Lift up your voice, worship the Lord, him forever, love him forever, because this God is too good. Oh, I will worship. Because this God is too good, oh. I know a God whose mercy, full and kind, faithful and gracious. I'm the apple of his eye, the thought that fills his heart every morning, noon, and night. He loved me when I didn't care, was patient till I came running back into his arms. Oh, look how he turned my life around, made me a shining star, his glory to reveal. Oh, I will worship him forever, love him forever, because this God is too good. Oh, I will worship. Just because this God is too good. Oh.
Father, may you reveal your heart and yourself to us. That when we read the word, we see your goodness, we see your mercy, we see your grace. And we know that that same mercy and that same goodness, that same grace is what you have towards us. That when we see your blessings and your testimonies and what you do through so many people around us, we understand that you are a working God. Oh, that we, when we see the trees and the mountains and the beauty of creation, we understand that you are faithful, that your word is holding this world together. And if you can hold the world together, yet it is spinning at a fast speed, then what is my life? You have everything covered. You are holding me together. Victory is mine. I cannot fail. My name cannot be put to shame, because you are God. You love me with an everlasting love, with a pure love that cannot fail. Oh, Jesus, I love you. 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 You are too good. You are too good. Oh, Ilanda Rabo Shatata. Oh, Shandele Rabo Shata. Oh, Shande Kesata. I pray that from today you would have a hunger for the word of God, that you would be in his word, and everything you see will cause you to rejoice. That from today, as you meditate on the word, you won't want to leave that place of prayer. That from today, everywhere you turn, everything that you see, even the things that disappoint you, that you see only the goodness of God, that you see him. Mercy, that you see his grace, that you see him working all things for your good, that you see him turning your story. Oh, there is no despair where you turn. There is no failure. Fear is far from you. Worry is far from you. Oh, shatekela raba shanda, reseketa la raba. I speak a peace that passes understanding, a joy unexplainable upon you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You are blessed. And I pray that every time you go to read the word and meditate, you come out glorious and enjoy shining. Because those are the experiences we need to have with God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for coming. Tell your neighbor, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Tell them Jesus is the Lord of your life. There is nothing missing. There is nothing broken. In Jesus' mighty name. See you all tomorrow for prayer and in your
generation meeting,
and then Sunday. Do not miss the Sunday service. Come with a friend in Jesus' name. Amen.